Holy Wit!
What did you just say?
Holy Wit, a podcast for warriors in training.
Episode 5 of Warriors in Training podcast. And today we are wanting to talk about the topic of intimacy. And when in Genesis, which is where we're going to start, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, we find God, and we find him in the garden with Adam and Eve. And it's a very interesting glimpse into quite a few different areas. But we want to answer a few questions today around this when it comes to intimacy. So, Steph, the question I have for you with Adam and Eve in the garden is, who was God to Adam and Eve?
That's a great question, and I think it's a question that not many of us think through. Adam was the first human God created. God was all Adam knew. Adam had no other experience of God except God in his fullness. And who was God to both Adam and Eve? Well, Adam was brought to the garden because God had already created the earth, the heavens and the earth, and the creatures of the air, the land, the sea, and then he created man, called him Adam.
Yeah.
And then he brought him to the garden, which I think is so fantastic. When we read it, when we go back and read the Genesis account, we read that God brought Adam to the garden. Why? So that God can show Adam his creation and let Adam name it.
All the things in the garden.
All things. And I love what you said when we were talking about this earlier. When I asked you, how long do you think that took? And this is just before Eve was created.
Right.
This is just Adam and God, just man and God. And I said, do you think that God paraded his creation around Adam? And how long would that have taken? And then you said,
well, the way I see it in my imagination is that God actually spent many, many, probably years, and he walked with Adam, almost like going on a walk through the garden or going on a walk through nature, as we would call it, and God would point at something and say, what should that be called? Oh, well, that's a squirrel. What should that be called? Oh, that's a boar.
That's a rhinoceros.
Right, that's a rhinoceros. Yeah. And so God made it part of that intimacy right away, that walking with Adam through his creation and allowing Adam to speak into the names of each creation.
And they would have taken time to observe all these creatures in their natural habitat. Think about that for a moment.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when we fast forward to when Eve enters the picture, Eve was created in the garden.
Right.
And when we tested Restoring Eden, we had a couple people going, that never landed on me before. I never realized that Adam was brought to the garden while Eve was created in the garden. So yes. Eve didn't know a time outside the garden, so to speak.
Yes.
Because she was in it the whole time. So her point of reference would have been the things that are in the garden, Adam, and the fullness of God.
Yeah.
There was nothing else to compare it to.
Perfection.
Perfection. Absolutely perfection. Can we imagine a time, or can we imagine an experience with God where it's just you and him in his fullness? And that every time whenever we experience God for who he truly is, it's always in his fullness, because he can't be less than he is, and he can't be more than he is. He's fully God, 100%. Like Tozer said, he can't be anything more and he can't be anything less. He is. Just simply, he is. And this is the experience that Adam and Eve had of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all in one. Maybe not Jesus the man, but Scripture tells us that Jesus was there, as we read the original language in the Genesis account.
Yeah.
That we know that God in his fullness, and I keep saying in his fullness because I want everybody to understand that God operates in his fullness.
Three in one.
Three in one. And this is what Adam and Eve experienced. So who was God to Adam and Eve? He was God.
Yeah.
He wasn't their genie in a bottle. He wasn't their fire insurance. He wasn't there to bail them out of trouble, because what kind of trouble would they have had in the garden?
Well, none at the beginning.
None at the beginning, but as we know,
trouble came along.
Trouble came along. They were told to reign and rule, and it was almost they were given a blank slate.
Yep.
With the reign and rule, and like Adam had named all the creatures, it was really God giving them reign. Make this what you want it to look like.
Yeah.
I've given this to you. Now you take it.
Mm-hmm.
And you make it. You name the creatures, and I'm going to honor those names.
And that was man's original job description.
His original job description
was to reign and to rule.
Correct.
Over God's creation.
The next thing to think about after looking at who God was to Adam and Eve, it's almost like a natural question, a natural follow-up question to ask is, why is it important to know God's character and nature?
Yeah, it's such a critical thing in our walk with God to understand his nature and character, because when we truly know who God is, then we've made up our mind that that's it. That's who he is. And like you said, too often with God being in his fullness, you know, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, the three in one, too often we don't experience God in a certain way. And so we make a God in our own image.
Right.
God, you know, when we don't understand his nature and character, we see it all the way through Scripture. Whenever God showed up and revealed himself to his people, to people in throughout the Bible, they would make an altar in that place, or they would name the place. You know, God, Jehovah Jireh, God, the God who provides.
Or the God who sees me.
Right, the Lord who heals, right, mm-hmm. The Lord who sees me. Mm-hmm. I believe that was with Rahab.
No, that was Hagar.
Hagar, sorry. And throughout that, throughout Scripture, every time God revealed himself, they would name the place. I name that in recognition of that. And so when God shows up in our lives and reveals himself, we are learning about his nature and character, and what he's teaching us each time is more and more about his fullness, because God cannot be anything but God. And so when we understand his identity, really his nature and character, it starts to transform our thinking and then our belief. And it's one of those things where too often, and we've said this in the past, you know, when we make God in our image, he becomes, you know, God who is a vending machine. God, here's what I want. Give it to me. And when we don't get it, we get upset. Or we make him the God of, you know, is God, heal me. And when we don't get healing specifically in that area, then we get mad.
Because, God, give me this spouse.
Right.
Give me this boyfriend. Give me this girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. God becomes that vending machine or the genie in the bottle, where he's there to fulfill our wishes instead of it being the other way around. And us going to God and saying, you know, who do you want to be for me now that you can't be any other time? How, you know, that goes back to that experiencing God part.
Right. And that is so critical. And we see that example in Jesus Christ himself when he was in the garden,
mm-hmm.
the night before he was to be arrested.
Yeah.
Where he was praying and he's sweating blood. He didn't want to go to the cross. Nobody wants to go to the cross. Not even Jesus, the man, as God, wanted to go to the cross. He submitted to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, not my will, but your will be done. And it's almost like how I read it is when he spoke those words, he had assigned himself. He had peace about what was to come.
Yeah.
And he became willing. He put his own fears aside and said, no, I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what's going to be accomplished tomorrow. I'm not going to get in the way of that because I have fear.
Yeah.
That's or because it's inconvenient.
Right, right. It was interesting when Jesus said, when they asked him, he said, I am, mm-hmm. which was the same name that God revealed himself to Moses, right?
when he was to go before Pharaoh. Who do I say sent me? Tell me I am sent me.
Like, what's the best statement in all of scripture? I am. I am who I am.
Yes, it's not a beer slogan for Molson Canadian.
Yeah, I am Canadian.
I am Canadian.
But he's a, I am. Like, there. That's it. God is the great I am. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's sovereign. He's
a mystery.
Omniscient.
He's a mystery.
Right. He's omnipresent. He's all these things because he is God. Mm-hmm. He's the uncreated one. Mm-hmm. Everything else has been created by him, but he's the only one that's never been created. He always has been. Mm-hmm. And so going back to when we understand the importance of knowing God's nature and character, that he's for us, he's not against us, that he loves us, yet he disciplines us when it's necessary, that he is a God of grace, yes, but he's also a God of justice. Mm-hmm. And in that, there's a balance in that, that he's also a God of mercy. And these are all part of who he is. Mm-hmm. And we can't escape any of it. None of it can we escape, because he's constantly revealing himself to us in everything that happens in our lives. And so too often we can become self-focused, right? Why is this happening to me? You know, why am I going through this thing in my life right now? Rather than asking, how does God want to reveal himself to me in this?
Is there an opportunity here? Is there some kind of stinking thinking that I got stuck in?
Yeah.
And that he wants me to work out.
Right. Is there toxic thinking, mm-hmm. like toxic mindsets that I need to change?
And the number one toxic mindset that you and I have seen over and over, sadly over and over in the body of Christ, is God the Father is a mean God.
Yeah. Or why does God allow bad things to happen
to good people? Well, yeah. First of all, don't get started on what is good.
Yeah.
That's a podcast for another day.
On its own, yeah.
But why are we so easy to fall into the thing? Why is it so easy to fall into the thinking that God is the bad God of the Old Testament? And because honestly, what it does is it keeps people from the awesome treasure and the revealing of great mystery of who God is.
Right. We actually need to understand that there are mysteries of God that we will never understand this part of time, right? Mm-hmm. When we live in time and space, like we are in eternity now, but we're in that time and space continuum right now. And there are certain mysteries of God that we will never understand. And it's mm-hmm. actually good that's the case, because mm-hmm. we seem to want to know everything, mm-hmm. right? I have to know it. I have to understand it to believe it. No, that's not faith. Mm-hmm. Faith is believing.
Mm-hmm. And believing what is unseen.
Right, right.
Not believing that gravity works because I fall off a cliff and I didn't fly.
Yeah.
Or I didn't float.
Faith is the assurance of things not seen. And part of that is the mystery of God. There are certain mysteries that we will never, never know this side of eternity. And so going back to that mindset, you know, that we see these mindsets, and sometimes God is trying to renew our minds, change the way we think, and then ultimately the way that we believe. What new mindset do you think we need to develop in order to gain, or in order to have greater intimacy with God?
Well, you nailed it just a moment ago when you talked about we renew our minds. The kind of mindset we need to have is the mindset of Christ. Hmm. And Paul talks about that in Romans, when he's talking about a living sacrifice. And I'll pause because I have to say this every time I read this chapter, the living sacrifice is we are to be the living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. The believers of God, those who are sold out to Jesus, fully surrendered to him, we are to be the living sacrifice. What's the problem with the living sacrifice?
It runs off the altar.
It always runs. It always finds a way to crawl off the altar.
Yeah.
So I have to say that it's almost like I can't get through it without saying that the problem with the living sacrifice. But going back to Paul's words at the beginning of Romans chapter 12, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's so awesome because the last couple of weeks on the blog post, this is what's been highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
What appeals to us about heaven and who is our church family? Well, Jesus answered both of those questions. The Bible answers both of those questions by saying, those who do the will of God will have eternal life. Those who do the will of God are my brothers and sisters. And who are the brothers and sisters of Jesus if not co-heirs to the kingdom?
Right.
Those who do the will of God, it's in the Lord's Prayer. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus said it in the garden when he surrendered himself and became peaceful, as peace like a river, obviously, the day on the eve of his crucifixion. He surrendered to the will of God. He adopted God the Father's way of thinking, and as a result, fulfilled the purpose, fulfilled what was given. So what is our purpose that we are to fulfill by adopting the mindset of the will of God? It means that we are no longer the God of our lives, that we are no longer focused on ourselves, that we are more focused on pursuing and discerning what the will of God is and chasing after that.
Yeah. So in that, it becomes, like I said, you know, sub question with that is, how do we discern the will of God? And what is the first thing we always say? First place we look for the will of God.
Read your Bible.
Right, right.
I love it when you go to church scripture. Services or you talk to people and they say, hey, listen, I've got a bag full of all these books about the Bible, but I've never actually read the Bible.
Yeah.
Here's a book by this author to translate the Bible for you.
Yeah.
Instead of going to the Bible, we got to get in the Word with God. Ask God to show you. I remember when I lived back in Ontario decades ago, it seems it has been decades ago. I remember sitting in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, actually. That's where I felt that I was supposed to be reading. And I'm just kind of like, Lord, you got to help me translate this. What does all this mean? And in no time, he just started opening my eyes to which Jesus says in Luke, he does. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
Yeah.
We're not that dumb that we can't understand his written word.
Right.
He wants us to ask him for clarity. Show me, Lord, what it is. Teach me what it is.
Right. And that goes to understanding that we've been given the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in us. And so the Holy Spirit's not his only role, but his main role is to lead us into all truth.
Well, he's to remind us of all those things that Jesus taught.
Yeah. And so he is the one that, as we read scripture, will bring it to life. He is the one that will give us revelation. And the reality is that he will give us new revelations. Mm-hmm. Of what's in scripture.
Because his word is alive and active.
Yeah. And so if we actually want to know the will of God, first place we go to, like you said, is scripture. And we ask him, Holy Spirit, show me in scripture what you want me to see.
Think of others higher than yourselves.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Love God. Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And think of yourself in sober judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And think of others above yourself.
Yeah.
That keeps us in a servant attitude where we're going to want to help other people. We're going to want to serve other people.
Yeah.
And it's not because, you know, we're building up some kind of you owe me. It's truly out of our heart. As we adopt the mind of Christ, our heart will follow.
Right.
Now it becomes a desire for us to serve one another.
We find ways to be blessings to other people because we've been blessed.
Mm-hmm.
We find others to invite into our church family.
People can't see you doing the quotes.
The quotes in the air.
Cam right now is air quoting.
Air quoting church family, right? Because the church isn't the building. The church is the body of Christ. So we are the church.
Those who do the will of the Father.
Yeah. And so when we speak about that, that's about inviting those who would be marginalized mm-hmm. into our family of and spiritual family. That's who the church really is. And so that comes out of all that new mindset. So to wrap up for our listeners, we want to get to the part of how do I begin to develop new mindsets? And what we've learned over time is that to develop a new mindset, we have to take the time and put in the effort to walk through talking with God and asking Him to speak into those areas of our lives that He wants to transform. And so this is why we've developed the Restoring Eden series. And we want to invite you to watch our website this week as Restoring Eden will be launched
in November.
And to keep an eye out for when and where you can register. We look forward to seeing you in the Restoring Eden series. And we really appreciate you tuning in to the podcast. We want to invite you to like this episode and other episodes, and give us a 5-star rating if you enjoy it.
And share it.
And share it with other people. Yeah, we love it. We would love it if you share our podcast and get the word out there. Even leave a review. That would be great as well. Thank you, and we'll see you next week. Episode 6.
Episode 6.